guys.
Yeah.
Did you guys, like, do well in school?
I mean, yes, but also, like, I was like that, like, smart kid who was really lazy because he was so smart, so he, like, didn't work.
Yeah.
You know,
that was
like,
me,
like,
dude.
Like, I was the guy who, like, calculated, like, I don't have to do the homework for the next 3 weeks if I get 87 or more on the test.
See, yep. I just, like, I didn't do my homework, but I did just enough work to pass all my classes and graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bro. I think my biggest downfall with school is that I never took notes.
Hmm.
And I think I know why.
Notes are boring?
I think it's because I was never invested in what I was learning.
That can happen.
What are you trying to say about the United States school system?
That it's not worth my time.
I agree.
Unlike D&D, because I take notes on everything.
I still don't.
And it is for that very reason. And it is for that very reason that we're able to bring to you this story today. Because
otherwise we all would have forgotten everything.
We'd have like a vague idea of what was happening.
We would have been like, oh, remember that one point when this happened? And we go, oh, yeah.
And then everybody else
that
like,
would
no.
be it. That would be it. It'd be, it'd be a 3-minute episode of Travelers. Yeah.
But because I take detailed notes on all of my characters and what they're doing and everything that goes on, we have a story to share. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, welcome to Traveler's Tips and Tales. My name is Ben.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're talking about a story from a game brought to you and played by the Travelers, run by Traveler Jake. This particular story, you still ran it, even if you didn't, if you don't remember it, because you ran it.
Had something in my throat or something, I don't know.
You still ran it, even if you didn't want to. And this particular story is about two characters, Traveler Mike and myself's characters, that were brought together through fate and through the dickhead moves of one of the characters.
It's about more than the two characters, but the story in general, but what we're talking about today.
Yeah, is the story of Gregor and Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, it's a long story. So,
that we can probably easily tell in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I've told the story of Gregor before, and I believe we've told the story of Marcus before. Gregor was, this is set in Prince of the Apocalypse, so in the Forgotten Realms. Gregor was a member of a group known as, what was it, like, the Fists? Something Fists.
You want me to get the book?
Wait, what?
It was like the Iron Fists
the Iron
or something
Fist,
like that.
No, it was not Iron. That's not the Iron Fist. We're not that uncreative. Because
no.
That was in the book.
No.
Iron. Hold on.
The Gauntlet. Iron Gauntlet, was it?
The Iron Gauntlet? That might be.
Something like that. It was a group of paladins and monks and things, but Gregor was just a scout. He was like a lowly scout. He had his horse, and he had good eyes, and he would, you know, ride out, spy on the enemy, and come back and report to his superior officer. Well,
yeah.
One day, behind the scenes, a lot of things went down that Gregor
Order
didn't see.
Order of the Gauntlet.
Order of the Gauntlet.
Order
there
of
we
the
go.
Gauntlet. That's what it was.
It's a thing. It's Order of the Gauntlet.
Yeah. I mean, this is just like, that's just like lore of
Forgotten Realms. Yeah.
Forgotten Realms. It's just that none of us know it because none of us ever freaking played the Forgotten Realms.
It's been 2 years, okay, since this game.
Yeah.
And I actually am reciting this from memory, so, you know, this will be, this is hard. Well, one day, Gregor's captain, he sends him off. He says, hey, I need you to go scout this area, and I don't want you to come back for at least a couple hours. He's like, okay.
He's scouting out that they're at some like battle with the Zentarim.
Yeah. He's scouting a battle with a bunch of Zentarim mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
And when he returns, he finds a battlefield littered with the corpses of his friends and allies. Problem is, only his allies. There's only Order of the Gauntlet people there.
Yeah.
And looking around, he runs over, you know, a friend of his dies in his arms after handing him like a bloodied banner, and he points off towards the captain that he has and is standing there, and his captain's like overlooking this whole battle. And Gregor's just like crying, having a breakdown. Well, a bunch of Order of the Gauntlet guys show up and they start chasing his captain off, but they also try to arrest Gregor. Gregor manages to run off on his horse because they can't catch him. He's real quick. He's real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on the run. He takes his wife, who's a succubus that used to sleep with all the guys at Order of the Gauntlet, but not the point. She married Gregor, so he won in the end. He won. He got the girl. And they run. He has a kid while on the run after like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then she grants him a warlock powers so that he can become powerful enough to go live with them in basically hell, which is where they're going back to.
Gregor's a warlock. A fiend warlock.
Yep. Warlock. Not a very strong one, but hey.
Hey, we started off at level one.
Yep. So yeah, he becomes a warlock with the intention of gaining power so that he can go be with his wife and child. We're in a world where they will not be hunted down. Enter Marcus.
Yes.
Marcus has a backstory that's intrinsically tied with Gregor's, but Gregor has no idea.
So now we could say it from Marcus's POV.
Yeah, so Marcus Shortencard. He is
That's his last name.
Yes. he is a whopping 2 foot six.
Hell yeah.
He is a halfling monk, and he's kind of a spy type of man. You know, he also works with the Order of the Gauntlet. However,
oh my goodness, look at this, is right there. Marcus Ironfist Shortencard, huh?
Yeah. However, there were some differences in his work with the Order of the Gauntlet. He basically worked with the insurrection of a group within the Order of the Gauntlet. He didn't necessarily know that that was what he was doing and getting information for, but that's what it was. He was getting information for this smaller group to basically start a war within the Order of the Gauntlet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you respond to your officer and...
Yeah, I got my orders. From,
so, you know, you get your orders and you do them. Kind of thing.
I don't care. I get paid. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, one day I got some orders that led to me getting information that I've had to pass along that may or may not have been responsible for the death of the squadron that Gregor was a part of. Yeah, fun times.
Yeah. So essentially we have a character who is responsible for literally all of the pain and suffering and life-changing events that another character has gone through. Enter Jake, the malevolent DM who says, yeah, these guys are a party now. we meet up in a tavern, as always. That's the awkward tavern.
Wait. I didn't say that you guys are a party now. Fate said you were a party now.
Fate guided sus. By the DM, Jake.
I feel like you're kind of putting some, you know, something on my name now. And also, right. technically, if I remember correctly, it's not entirely Marcus's fault either, because the whole battle between the Order of the Gauntlet that happened with Gregor's squadron or group or whatever was mostly like set up by Gregor's commanding officer. I mean, that's he's kind of the big bad between the both of you.
So he basically pulled an Itachi and he was like, I'm going to go kill all these traitors and then I'll take the blame for killing all these traitors, but then didn't tell Gregor. So Gregor sees him as just as much as responsible as Marcus is, basically. Part of his goal was just tracking that guy down so he could murder him in many violent ways.
Yeah, and the reason we put this whole, you know, this party comes together on Jake, he wanted us to make sure we were working together to have at least, you know, two people at the table that had backstories tied together. So that's what we did.
I thought it'd be fun, you know?
We started session zero,
you know, maybe people might know each other. I don't know. I thought it'd be cool if you guys might have intertwined backstories, you know, it happens every now and then, you know.
Oh, it's awesome. I think it provides a great story dynamic.
Yeah, I could use them as plot points and stuff, which I totally didn't, you know, utilize, obviously, in this scenario. Unfortunately, never got that far, you know.
I know, like, whenever I DM, whenever there is a conflict that comes about naturally due to the character's own actions, that is my favorite thing because that is less prep that I have to do.
Exactly. You're just like, all right, I got to put all my stuff on the back burner and let these fools do their thing. Sounds good. Yep. But yeah, so this creates your party. I don't even remember your guys' party name. I know you guys had one.
We didn't have one at the time.
You didn't have one at the time, but I do. You guys at some small town called Red Larch, I believe. And you know, there's a couple problems in Red Larch that you guys start to deal with. And the first thing that you guys sign up for is reportings of undead or something in a cave somewhere, right?
Yeah, it was undead in a cave. We were like, yo, that's whack.
And so, you know, there's a thing out for any group that wants to go clear that out for, you know, 50 gold pieces and some stew or whatever.
Should we mention to the viewers what book this was that we were playing?
This is Prince of the Apocalypse. I think we already said that. But yeah, Prince of the Apocalypse, published by, you know, Dungeons & Dragons.
Wizards of the Coast.
I mean, a little basis on the story is that it's a lot of like elemental cultists going on. There's like four big cultists, each on one main like element of like fire, water, earth, and air and stuff. And like, there's a lot going on with the different cults, and there's like cult dynamics and how cults react to other cults, and then how the party is trying to clear out the cults, and the cults want to have other cults prosper, but the other cults were bad, and like some cults like this cult but don't like that cult, and the cult.
Yeah. We're playing Avatar.
Sure. If Avatar was a bunch of cults.
Playing in one of my games.
I mean, low key it kind of is, but that's a conversation for another time.
So yeah, you guys go and you go to
yeah, we go and God, we kill the undead and we find some dude. Like,
yeah. Well, he's a necromancer.
We find some dude. It's called the Lord of Lancerock or something.
He had a name, but he never told you guys. So.
We were supposed to kill him, I guess, but instead we questioned him and then turned him into the guard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was interesting. That's when you guys learned, well, that's when everybody learned that Gregor has a thing about talking to guards. So because he used minor illusion to make himself look like a weird half-elf every time you guys talk to guards.
Because Gregor is the only charisma build in the party. It's a party of five. And you had one intelligence build, two dex wisdom builds, a strength build, and one charisma build.
Yeah.
Because you had a wizard, a warlock, a barbarian, and then a monk and a ranger. Which your party comp. Which is not bad. I think it was pretty good. I think y'all bounced off each other.
Yeah, which you guys have heard about the ranger that's in this party. That was Phalia.
It's Phalia.
Phalia Day. From our ranger episode that we had Justine on.
Yeah.
And Phalia was really also the only person Gregor got along with.
If you guys care, I guess, the other characters are Apawak, played by Kevin. Who's been on here before in a couple of episodes, and also Brian, which is played by
Hayden, who's been on here before.
Yes.
Yeah. So this was our party. We're a bunch of idiots, but we find this weird necromancer. We turn him into the authorities, and we're like, all right, well, I guess we got to start looking into these cults, because that's kind of what the game is about. So
on your way out, you checked out a bandit camp or whatever. But
yeah, we checked out a bandit camp. My only note in my notebook was the bandits posed no trouble. And then we found a sinkhole in the middle of town.
Oh, yeah, in the middle of a random town.
There was a sinkhole.
That was a whole thing.
Yeah. My character wrote, I didn't volunteer to explore the cavern, but eventually decided to join my companions.
Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, I think I was actually the first one to go down.
You were.
I think you dragged everybody else.
But the next major event, though, between Marcus and Gregor, we were traveling through the mountains, like through this huge like valley, and we saw a tower off in the distance. We were like,
"Yeah, what's that?" You guys were investigating a lost party, a lost group.
Yeah, and we were like, "What the hell is that tower?" It's like the only thing of note around this entire place. We head over there, and they let us in, and they're really nice. Yeah.
Bunch of nice guys.
They gave us a ton of food, and they housed us.
Mm-hmm. The Feathergale Knights, Feathergale Spire, I think it was called. Yeah. They let us in. They were like, "Hey, welcome. What are you guys doing here?" And we were like, "We're hunted cults."
They're like, "Wow. All right." And just out there in the open, just like that. Okay, cool.
They were like, "Sweet." Right? We were like, "Yeah.
It's good for you."
And I think we did a couple quests, like, and came back and like stayed in that tower a couple times. Even I think like we left and came back a couple times.
You guys spent like 2 or 3 nights in that tower, I think.
Yeah, we even went hunting with them. Like, mm-hmm. So they rode hippogriffs. That was like their thing. So
yeah, they, you guys went hunting with them for a manticore.
Yeah, we went hunting, and during the hunt, Marcus got separated from the rest of the group.
Yes, I did.
And it was a really like foggy night, and yep. So Marcus got lost, and because the hippogriff follows the rider's lead, he didn't know where the heck to go, and so he like landed at some point because he had to sleep. And then I ended up
like at the bottom of a canyon.
Well, okay, so the tower itself is overlooks a canyon. The edge. Yeah, the tower is like built out, so like it's a cliff edge, and then there's a little, what's it called, drawbridge that goes over the cliff edge to this like spire sticking out of the canyon. It's like, you know, a couple like 40-50 feet away from the edge of the canyon, and so the tower is built onto the spire, which is about equal level to the canyon, to the cliff edge itself. So like, and then it's a like a 5-story tower or something, so it's like a 60-70 foot 80 foot tower, even more than that, I think, on top of like a 200-300 foot cliff edge. Like it's a really high vantage point.
Yeah,
there's a whole canyon to the like out into the, I think it was like the to the southeast of that tower. It was in like the northeastern ish area of the canyon. But yeah, and so like there's the big canyon, and the manticore was deeper into the canyon, so they went hunting with the knights, and eventually Marcus got separated and got lost at night in the fog, and woke up alone in the middle of a canyon in the bright hot day.
So we go out looking for Marcus because we're like, where the hell's Marcus?
Yeah,
the Feathergale Knights are like, I don't know, probably dead or something.
I feel like they expressed a little bit more worry about Marcus than that, but okay.
Well, I don't care about them anymore because reasons.
I mean, they made the image of trustworthy people, though, still.
Yeah.
They made
a small effort, however small it might have been.
Until they did.
So we went out looking for Marcus, and this was like the first time when one of our party members was actually like lost, like we didn't know where they were.
Separated, yeah.
Yeah, and Gregor was like insistent that we find them. We go out.
It's pretty good.
Meanwhile, Marcus is doing just fine.
Yeah, I'm just on my little adventure, man. Like, my hippogriff left me. I have no way back to the tower instead of
you're just down like, bad. We could just say it. You're
yeah.
Right. Marcus is down
like,
bad.
I can see the tower in the distance when it reaches morning. And I'm just like, all right, start walking now. And then, you know, some Arakocras come by. And they look like they might want to kill me. But through the power of cacawing, I convinced them to pick me up and start flying me towards the tower.
And to make that known of what that means, is I'm pretty sure you just started like putting your hands up and cawing at them as they started coming towards you with spears and stuff. And you just started cawing at them like a lot. And
so I think I had a
persuasion or something.
I had a quarterstaff. And I like raised it in the air and like pointed at the tower. I was like, something like that.
And you like, and I was like, make a persuasion check, and then you were just like rolled in that 20. So I was like, All right. You just like happened to say the exact thing that like isn't offensive to these.
I just fumble my way through Orin.
Yeah. You randomly guessed the one correct phrase in Orin, and so they were like, oh, this homie's just down bad. He's just far from home, you know? He's just gotta help a brother out every now and then. And so they started, like, picking up Marcus, and they started flying towards him. And you know, yet again, Gregor and party is in tow looking for him out in the canyon, but on foot.
Yeah, and a little ways, a little bit of time passes where we're flying, and eventually Marcus sees the rest of the party and points over at them with the quarterstaff and is like, caca, caca!
Yeah.
And so we started flying over to them, and once we got there...
So then the funny thing is like, Marcus guesses the one phrase correctly, right? And now he's trying to guess another phrase.
And I think I rolled like a 6.
Yeah. And so so to the Eric Cochran's, Marcus is just pointing out these people down there. And they're like, oh, all right, we get you. And so the Eric Cochran's start like diving down towards the party. And I mean, you know, the party guesses what that looks like based off of context clues. You know, there's a bunch of big birds, not big birds, I guess, but like human-sized bird people.
Yeah,
that are,
big birds.
Yeah, one is holding their small halfling friend, and they're jetting down to them. They're just diving straight down at them with spears and stuff. So, yeah, the party did what any other reasonable party would probably do, and they killed some of the birds.
Well, and so I really liked how I went about my attack, because once I noticed that, like, this was just going to be a fight and there was no way out of the fight, it was it was kill or be killed, I holding my quarterstaff, bonked the one that was holding me in the head, so it would drop me.
You did in fact do that, Mark.
There was some major bonking going on that day.
Some major bonking. Apuwak was jealous because, you know, he just had javelins. That high, you know. But yeah, so a bunch of birds like get murdered that were pretty nice guys, but you know, it happens.
Happens to the best of us, mate.
Sometimes you just murder some things in D&D. It just happens, you know. And so now, hey, the party's reunited. Woo! And then they go back to the tower and go to sleep, I'm guessing. I'm pretty sure. For the most part.
Yeah, I think we went back to the tower. We had some food. And then we went to sleep.
You like discuss and what that... else you, what you're going to do further in the future. Like what you want to do tomorrow and whatnot. Yeah.
And that is when shit got real.
It wasn't Marcus getting lost and then having to start an Eric Cocker fight after being flown for a little bit. Nah, it was going to sleep.
Yeah.
Who was the first person to wake up, by the way? I don't remember.
I think it was you.
I think technically it was all five of you because they coordinated it where they all started trying to kill you all at once.
Gotcha.
Or wait, no. I can't
remember. Marcus was out like a night, bro. Like,
I can't remember. Actually, I do think I had some of you. Let me see here real quick. I would guess it was probably... I think I might have ruled it that Justine's character Phalia was the only one that woke up because she had the highest passive out of all of you guys. And I don't think they rolled like super good on stealth sneaking into your room. So I think Phalia woke up and was like, what? And so like they didn't get like a really good at first like attack on you guys. But yeah. To explain
spoilers,
to
Feathergrail Knights tried to murder us all in our sleep.
Yeah. unsuccessfully.
So
that's kind of like a horror story, honestly. It's kind of terrifying what you guys did to those Feathergrail Knights.
It was Applewalk and Brian.
Yeah, at least the Applewalk and Brian room. That room was scary, dude.
Imagine a guy on fire crawling his way out of a room where his friend is literally bleeding out, and after getting like thrown
bleeding
out
window. Pinned to the ground, pinned to the floorboards. Yeah. The whole room is on fire. The guy was just recently thrown out the window. One guy.
Then all of a sudden, like this guy's like crawling out of the fire, like hauling himself. A bolt of ice goes flying into his back and explodes. And then this big ass dude made of rocks grabs him and pulls him back into the room as he's screaming.
And it's like the total like stereotypical like fingernails scratching on the wood floor, like please no. As he gets pulled back into the room and yucked out the window with his friend. Like I said before, like a 500 foot drop, more than even. Like, it's a tall tower on top of a tall spire.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. And they were not on the bottom floor, let me tell you. But, yeah.
Yeah.
That room was scary. Your guys' room was a lot less scary.
Yeah, ours was like me, Eldritch blasting across the room, and Phalia shooting at the guy that was in front of me because we were both ranged.
Yeah, it was like one guy attacking Marcus, or one guy attacking Gregor, one guy attacking Phalia, and you each were just targeting the opposite dude.
Yeah.
Where you were killing Phalia's attacker, she was killing yours. And then Marcus is just, you know, holding his own as a monk.
I was just like, paunch.
Hear me out though. What if I hit you with my stick? But yeah. A lot of like murdering happens. The like lead Feathergale Knight runs up to the top with I can't remember who. I think it was Gregor.
It was Brian.
It was Brian. Because he's
a slippery bitch.
Yeah. Wasn't slippery enough though.
Nope.
But yeah, he like pulls him up and is like holding him at the like edge of like this, it's like total like Assassin's Creed like waypoint thing where like you like go there so you can unlock the map and stuff. You know, like it's just like this random perch off the top of a tower for no reason. It's 100% like that, and he's just like standing there holding Brian up close to him, and I think Gregor goes invisible before he ever comes up to the top of the tower. He like sneaks up and ties a rope around Brian, his like leg or something.
So I was going to put it around his neck, but then I was like, oh, wait, that would be really
That's probably not a good idea.
I think I rooped it around, like, his arm and, like, tightened it around his wrist so it would just break his arm and not his
something like that. Something like that. And this whole time, the Feathergrail Knight is talking to, I can't remember who. I think it was, like, Applewalk. It was like...
Yeah, I think so.
It was struggling to keep him on the top of the tower for long enough.
And it was like hostage situation status. Like Brian was in front of him, so we couldn't shoot him or anything.
Yeah. It was 100% hostage situation. And he's like, you guys are like trying to negotiate to let Brian go, and you guys can like let him live or whatever bull crap. And then what he does is he just leans backwards and falls off with Brian. separates the two of you, like, totally lets go of Brian as he's falling, you know, plummeting down 600 plus feet to his death, most likely. Whereas, because of the way the tower's set up, the very bottom floor of the tower, the top of the spire, but the bottom of the tower, is where all the hippogriffs are stored in this, like, circular, like, stable system where the doors out are just out into the open cliff edge because, you know, the hippogriffs and they can fly and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so he, like, falls down and, like, lands on his, the final hippogriff of the tower and whatnot, and, like, all the other ones take out too, and he's, like, trying to fly away and get away from the party as Brian falls off the edge with the rope tied to him. Gregor's tries to hold it, fails, goes over with Brian, and then Apowak grabs the end of the rope, and so now Brian and Gregor are just, like, dangling by a rope from the edge of the tower. And Phalia snipes the dude, so he doesn't even get away.
Yeah. Because we're absolute G's.
You guys are absolute chads.
Yep.
But yeah.
Never forget.
So that all happens. A lot of trauma that builds party trust, you know?
Yeah. So at this point, Marcus, Gregor, they're getting pretty close, you know?
Pretty good friends.
They've been through a lot together.
They've been through a good amount together. They've almost died in the same room a number of times.
Yeah. They're not really, like... At this point, though, they're still not, like... talking.
Close.
Yeah, they're acquaintances. Not,
like, yeah, they're not, like, really, really close. So...
But, I mean... When you ask, well, what yet could again, bring
them closer, right?
Yet again, still, though, they are almost murdered next to each other a number of times in the week. But still, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what could possibly bring them together? Well, how about Marcus' backstory?
Yeah, so at this point, you know, Jacob wanting to kind of tie things into our characters a little bit more instead of just making it about the book itself.
Yeah.
Because I have criminal contacts, because I was a spy and so I needed to make criminal contacts.
Yeah.
One of them reached out and sent a letter, and it requested my assistance to run their inn while they took care of some business.
Yeah. Their contact, inn is like a couple miles away.
Yeah, and this contact was someone who, you know, I owed some favors to anyways, and so I convinced the party to help me out, and we went to the inn to go take care of it.
In contrast to investigating the cults further.
It was a time sensitive issue.
Took a break.
Yeah. It happens, yeah. It makes sense. It checks out. You know, there's side quests to games. That makes sense.
And this inn was just outside of a town. I forget what town it was.
Oh, I don't remember either. Where's the book?
but it was just outside of a town, and pretty much all of the clientele at this inn is criminals. Like that's just what you're getting into when you go to this inn. And
yes, this is a inn ran by the Zentarim.
Yeah, and we go
into a hilarious.
Inn. It's called Barge Right Inn.
Yeah, Barge Right Inn. That's right.
I will say it led to a hilarious moment between Gregor and Phalia. She was like, I want to get along with these people. I'm going to go offer them my services. And I was like, you probably shouldn't phrase it like that. You're like the only woman in this entire bar. So
this is coming from the man that has built a relationship with succubus.
Yeah. Well, I also had contacts in the Zentarim being Gregor. Yeah. So.
That's fair, yeah.
He developed them only after he became a criminal, or a wanted man, but he did have them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We go inside the inn.
So he immediately knew it was then to run, you know?
Yeah. We go inside the inn, and Marcus recognizes a few people kind of scattered throughout among the crowd. And, you know... A
couple of contacts.
Yeah, a couple of contacts from his spy days.
Mostly just people that he's, like, talked to, though. Not really people.
Yeah, just gotten information from.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
They're not, like, no, like, buddy buddies. They're just... co-workers.
Yeah.
That for the right price easily would have wanted to kill Marcus.
Oh, 100%. Like, it's a cutthroat world.
None of them are loyal. There's no loyalties anywhere other than the person that asked Marcus to be here.
Yeah, and so I go up to the barkeep and I get the letter with instructions on it, as well as like the keys to the place and all that. And
the person isn't even here.
Huh?
The person isn't even there. Your contact.
Oh yeah, he already left. Already left to take care of the business he needed to by the time that we got there, which, to be fair, was like a day's trip away.
Something like that, yeah.
So we go in and everything, we take care of that, and something happens that night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All of the money goes missing, if I remember correctly.
Yep, like all the money in the treasury. So, something like that. Yeah, basically we were all like, damn, that sucks, Marcus, what are you going to do? We're all helping Marcus try to figure out what the hell to do.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, sounds pretty bad, man. Have fun. And I was just like, no, I need your guys' help, seriously.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, come on. It's not funny.
And we locked down the inn.
Did an investigation.
I introduced myself to a couple of my old contacts. I had to remind them I was Iron Fist, which Phalia is able to read lips.
Yes.
And
so Phalia questions the rest of the party about Iron Fist and what that means, which Gregor recognizes that name. But he can't exactly point it where he exactly remembers it. He just remembers it vaguely. One of those kind of situations, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a name that he had heard before, but couldn't remember. Things.
Yeah.
And he tried to talk to some of the patrons at the inn, and they like wouldn't really give him any information.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
do a lot of investigating and a lot of questioning and whatnot, and a lot of, you know, inspecting different rooms and whatnot. They end up busting the person who stole the money. I won't spoil it because it was the janitor. No, I won't spoil it because, you know, that was in the book. That was a quest in the book. So, yeah, but that all happens. But, you know, a little bit of rising, like, suspicion. I don't want to say suspicion, actually, but like.
Now there's the mystery in the air of who is Iron Fist? Why do I know that name for Gregor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And oh boy, was it an obsession for a little bit.
Also, a thing that happened like among our adventures that we were kind of talking about earlier with the tower and the bandit cap and all that. Gregor got a horse so we could travel faster.
Oh, yeah. You guys bought a horse and a cart in one of the towns way earlier, and you guys have been using it pretty much the whole campaign so far. But yeah.
Charlotte was his horse. Never forget.
Was.
Precious horse, Charlotte. And so thus, the return from the inn to the tower.
Yeah, because we made the tower our base of operations.
Yes. They just took over the tower, you know, because why worry about anyone that might be connected to the Feathergale Knights easily being able to find out where you are, because it used to be the home of the Feathergale Knights. Anyways, why have any discreetness about where you... Anyways.
Who needs discreet when you have Opawak?
Believe it or not, Opawak can hit zero, so... So, yeah, you guys are, like, returning...
That's when we run.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys are, like, returning to the tower to go and, you know, figure out where you're going to go from there. And that's when Gregor's no good, very bad, unfortunate day starts.
Yeah.
basically, to sum it all down, on their way back, the party gets like ambushed by cultists. These are cultists from the Water Tribe, and so they come in through like a river.
They had a giant crocodile.
And they had a giant crocodile. And you know, the party was kicking their ass for the most of it, but towards the end of the fight, on one of the last of the crocodile's turns, the crocodile eats Gregor's horse.
It ate Charlotte.
It ate Charlotte.
Well, first they ran us off the road, right? So we got stuck in like the bushes. And then it came out, it murdered Charlotte, and then it stepped on the cart and like tried to drag it towards me. And then I was like, nope,
turned into... It stepped on the cart and tried to start eating you guys too.
Yeah, so I turned into mist and GTFO'd, you know what I'm saying? I was like, Mistwalk.
Out of here.
Yeah.
And then,
nah, homie.
Then Gregor goes super sane.
Lightweight.
He's like, you know, Shield Hero when he unlocks that like rage ability and stuff. Like that's what happens in Gregor, just in his mind right there. And he just like cracks a little bit, and then Marcus goes on like a murder spree over that crocodile. Like he just absolutely obliterates it. And mourns the death of his precious horse Charlotte.
She was a good horse.
She was a good horse. She was a good horse. Then something else happened though. Not too long after that.
Something real bad.
Something real bad happened.
Everything so, bad. I would just like to preface this. Everything bad in this story happens when we go to sleep.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That is true. So yeah, you guys camp out and you guys are like trying to figure out how you're gonna like fix the cart enough to try and haul it back to the tower or to another town to be able to get another horse to pull it or something like that. Who knows? So you guys set up camp and you go to sleep. And in his sleep, Gregor typically talks to his wife, who is his patron. And it's like a really nice, blissful spot for him, you know? Real relaxing. And he kind of needs it today.
It's been a rough day.
It's been a rough day. He lost his horse. And unfortunately for Gregor, you know, the party's been leveling up throughout the adventures. They've done a lot of quests. They've hit a certain point where I deemed a succubus is no longer powerful enough to give, you know, how could a succubus give like ninth level spell slots to a warlock or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I deemed he had to start barking up higher in the food chain of the fiend category, you know. And so an unnamed being greets Gregor in his mind. And the unnamed being, the new patron, you know, maybe has some other things that he wants to plan to do with Gregor. And he kind of low-key blackmails Gregor into being like, listen, you don't have to do anything yet, but if you want to keep your sweet little powers and, you know, be able to live with your wife, because he knows what's up. He knows the whole thing that's been happening here with this succubus and Gregor here. Didn't go under the radar, you know. So he's like, if you ever want to, you know, come and live the rest of your life in the nine hells with your wife and your kid, I'm gonna ask for favors one day because I'm your new patron. I'm the guy that gives you your power. Don't forget that. I can take it all away from you and you'll be nothing again. And you know, that's not really a a positive, you know, reinforcement for Gregor at this point in time.
This man came into Gregor's dreams like YouTube and said, hey, we got a TOS update for you.
Sorry, bruv. There's some new management. And yep. They're cutting your paycheck. That's basically what he said. You know.
Hey, yo, bro.
So that's not that great, you know. That's pretty bad.
Not the greatest. But then
not ideal.
Gregor's dealing with all this stuff, and he's pretty openly like frustrated and angry. He even challenges Applewalk to like a one-on-one fight. Yes. And gets his absolute shit rocked. We all knew that was gonna happen.
Beaten to a pulp.
Yeah.
Not even.
But you know, it's just like part of like what how he's dealing with all of these like mixed emotions. Like he's angry, doesn't know what to do, right? Well, that night, they're like waiting around, camping out. Gregor takes watch.
It's morning.
No, it was night, because it was during watches.
In the middle of the night. Mm. Yeah. So Gregor takes watch, and Marcus is like, I'll take watch with Gregor.
And at this point, everyone's like, out of game, we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Jake's like, oh no.
Let's just say I popped popcorn, okay?
Yeah. So, and everyone in the party, I feel like, was like, Marcus? Really? You never take watch with Gregor. What's up with that?
Yeah, I just kind of played it off. I was like, oh, you know, like, I feel like we should talk about stuff because we never talk.
Yeah. Well, then this absolute mad lad is like, hey, Gregor.
I know your horse just died.
Yeah. So
I know your horse just died. You're dealing with a lot of stuff right now, and these are confusing times. But
I go up to Gregor. I'm like, hey, so I know you've been hearing the name Iron Fist a bit lately. know what that's about? And Gregor's like, I mean, it's familiar, but I can't place where from. And so I tell him straight up, I'm like, well, I am Iron Fist. You know that because you heard the people at the inn say it. What you don't know is that Iron Fist, me, I used to be a spy for the Order of the Gauntlet. And I delivered some pretty big information that caused an entire military squadron to be killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's when Gregor realizes who Marcus is.
Yeah.
And what Marcus has done.
Not only that, I think you even showed me a piece of paper that had those orders on them, too. Like,
I did. Like, I did.
This is what I should show him.
This is what this man needs to see right now.
His beloved horse died. His beloved wife is no longer in his dreams.
In contact, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me just ruin this man's whole life.
So Gregor immediately tries to murder Marcus, like, brutally, too. I think he, like, tried to stab him right off the bat. He just went straight for, like, murder.
Yeah.
Like, full-on murder. The party wakes up. Gregor realizes he can't fight Marcus hand to hand.
This is like party conflict at its worst. this is the real deal. It's not just like you're dumb and I don't like you. Like this is hate.
We just had like a full day of adventure. We had a fight, so Gregor's down some spell slots. I'm down a couple of key points, but nothing insane.
Gregor's also beaten to a pulp already by Applewalk, because they haven't fully gotten their long rest yet. This is the same day as that happening. Yeah. And so eventually, like, Gregor runs off into the woods, right?
Yeah, he realizes he can't beat Marcus hand-to-hand, so he turns to mist and disappears into the woods.
Marcus is just like, cool.
And everyone is like, what did you do?
And then I did something even more stupid. I showed the whole party the letter with the orders.
Yeah.
They were just like,
I was like, fuck, I was like, dude. I allowed Gregor to see this. It is a part of my past that I'm not super proud of, but it happened. And the whole party was like, dude, he just lost his horse.
Dang, bro. You messed up.
we didn't know that he was getting a new patron. We did not know that as a party. All we knew about tragedy wise was that his horse died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys can easily tell that there's a lot on his mind.
Yeah.
It's pretty visible.
And like, yeah. we start to have a discussion while Gregor is going off into the woods in mist form. Yeah. And everybody is kind of on the same page of like, well, Marcus, that was kind of a shitty thing to do, man.
That was like, maybe not ideal, my guy.
Brian is like, I mean, you did what you did. So what? Phalia is kind of annoyed because, you know, she's the closest to Gregor. And Oppawak is like, I'll go find him and fix this.
Oppawak, the true dad of this party. Like,
Oppawak started going somehow into the woods and tracked down Gregor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And starts to have a conversation with him.
Sneakiest, and also he's pretty angry. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yep.
So Oppawak
tracks Gregor down. And he's basically like, look, I get what he did was fucked up. But you can't deal with this right now. Like, there's other stuff we gotta do, right? He's like, you could stay out here, but you should come back in the morning. And he hands me like a blanket, I think. So in the morning, everyone's like, fucking Marcus, goddammit. And then Gregor comes back in the morning, and he has a big smile on his face, and he's like, hey, you know what? My bad. Shouldn't have run off last night. I apologize. And everyone's rolled insight.
There's a dream. There's another dream. That night, Gregor's visited by the weird, strange, mysterious new patron being again. And the being's like, yes, you see that hatred that you have right now for Marcus? I want you to hold it. Marcus will get what he, like, what he deserves one day. Something. I mean, I like worded it all out, you know, all DM style, all fancy pantsy and whatnot. Like the gist is like
it was very demonic.
It's like, yeah, it's like hold on to your hatred and use it for another day, and he will get what he will get his comeuppance and whatnot, and he will get revenge and all will be right if you follow my lead and do what I say. So Gregor's like, I bet.
It was kind of like Palpatine talking to Anakin.
Yeah, like 100%, yeah. Like just like whispering.
Use
in
my
ear,
knowledge,
like,
I beg you.
Yeah, it was totally like that.
The next day, Gregor comes back, big smile on his face, feeling great. Right, everyone. I think literally everyone in the party rolled insight.
Oh, 100%.
100%.
And only one person managed to beat me, and it was fucking Applewatch. goddamn Applewatch over here.
The dad of the party.
Yeah, Applewatch over here managed to beat me. And he rolled, and everyone else was like, yeah, Gregor seems really happy. He's like, he feels better, you know, he's not mad at all. Applewatch beats my insight, or he beats my deception, and you were like, He's not fine.
He's biting his time.
Yeah. Biting my time, basically.
The party starts to take off onto their next thing, heading to the base again. And Oppawak pulls Marcus to the side and is like, hey, listen, you need to watch your back. He is not okay. He is pissed. Yeah. And I was like, good to know.
Yeah.
And then, believe it or not, that's pretty much where it ends. Because then this quirky little thing happened called coronavirus, and we stopped playing. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, because this is one of those games that, like, Jacob prefers that if he's going to run a game, it's going to be in person.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like a one shot for the podcast, then it's fine. But like, even then, it's still preferred that it's in person.
Yeah. I think the one shot that I've run so far on the podcast was in person still. Like,
yeah, because that was with Hayden at my house.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah,
check it out, episode 9 and 10.
Is Lloyd dead? To be honest, this might be as far as this story ever goes, because Jake doesn't want to keep running this game. He wants to like start over completely.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll run it. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll take what I've already done and then just like plop you somewhere else and like try and world build out from there. But I really like you guys' characters and stories.
Just when it's all spicing up.
But I hate that I'm in charge of it.
let me do a thing here for the fans. Yeah. Okay. Let me do a thing for the fans here.
Yeah, yeah.
I fully wrote out, and by the I mean like Gregor, fully planned out the murder of Marcus.
Ooh.
I have not heard this yet.
From his
perspective. So the goal was for us to head back to our tower that we took over, which we renamed, by the way. It wasn't the Feathergear Spire anymore. It was the 4.5.
That's right. That was what we called ourselves, the 4.5. Because it was four full-size people and a halfling.
So you called yourself the 4.5? That's the dumbest thing. I think
Renamed ourselves Repentance, I think. Because there was five of us.
Yeah.
But then, like, we voted on it, but then the tower got the name we were going to name ourselves, like, that came in second place, which was the 4.5, because it also works.
Because the tower had four stories, plus the stable, I think the stable is one of the stories, but plus the top, it didn't have walls or anything, but there was still, it was like a, you know, like, city buildings where they have, like, the roof access?
Yeah.
It's like that. But, like, they had, like, planted grass and stuff up there. It was pretty nice. And also, you know, a whole hostage situation happened up there. And whatnot. But yeah, that's unimportant.
Completely.
But yeah, so you go back to the 4.5.
Yeah, so his plan was to go back to the 4.5 to let everyone get settled in for a couple days and then invite Marcus to the roof to talk things over. It's like, look, man, we got to talk about this. I'm not mad anymore. I just need to understand why, right? And then when we go up there, for Gregor to actually be sitting on the edge and then be like, Marcus, come sit down. We need to talk about this, right? And then sit down, talk, actually hear him out. His plan was to actually be like, what happened? Like, completely hear him out, if for no other reason than to lower his guard. And then to tackle him off the top, both of those. And then as he's going down, to just turn to mist and then watch as Marcus splatters down in the ravine below.
Yeah.
And just be like, yep, that's dealt with. And then fly back up to the top. And then his plan was to go back inside, and when everyone asks where Marcus is, to just be like, I talked to him, and after everything he did, he couldn't bear to live anymore.
You were gonna tell them Marcus committed suicide?
Jeez.
Yep.
Foolproof. Totally foolproof.
Oh, man.
I tried to save him. I really did.
Totally foolproof, man.
You tried to save him before sending him on his way to hell.
No holes in that story. No one ever will be suspicious about that.
Well, all right. No one but not.
They can't prove it.
I guess. Yeah. But,
suspicious enough, they can't prove it.
Neat, I guess.
I feel like that situation could go one of two ways when Marcus is invited. Either he doesn't sit down on the edge because Opawak told him to be careful, or he tells Opawak to come up and watch from the doorway, so at least if he dies, someone knows what really happened.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
You can't stop him. Gregor is unstoppable.
That's kind of
turn invisible.
Unfortunately, that's the semi-unfinished story of Marcus and Gregor. It might continue one day. It might not.
Probably won't.
We'll see. Maybe I'll pick it up. I don't know. But yeah. So I don't know if you guys knew this, but we have a YouTube channel that we upload all of these episodes to. Just at the same exact time as we upload them to all the other podcast platforms that we upload to normally, and that is on YouTube at Travelers Tips and Tales. We also have an Instagram, which we upload memes to on a rare occasion. which is called Traveler's Tips and Tales. We also have a Facebook page, Traveler's Tips and Tales, and a Twitter page, at Tips Tales. We also have a Tumblr page, which is at Traveler's Tips and Tales. And we have a Patreon if you guys would like to support us and what we do here. We give homebrew stat blocks and items and a whole subclass for fighter and a bunch of other stuff on our Patreon, which is at Traveler's Tips and Tales. You can also email us any questions you have about the podcast or about D&D or about anything really in general. We will do our best to answer it to our knowledge, which is at travelerstipsandtales@gmail.com. And we also have a website with a couple of homebrew things for free if you'd like to download the PDFs and whatnot off of that, if you'd like. And that's at travelerstipsandtales.com. If you want to check out what kind of stuff we might be able to offer.
Yeah, it's like a little teaser.
Yeah, a little teaser kind of situation going on. We also would like to thank our patrons today, which are Dalton and Ben's mom.
Thank you.
Pretty neat people. We also want to shout out four local game stores in our area. If anyone is interested, anyone is in the greater Sacramento area, there's Forgotten Path Games in Vacaville, which is where we all met, and we all still shop out semi-regularly, because of quarantine and whatnot. We also have Mad Alpaca Games in Fairfield, or Davis Cards and Games in Davis, and also Hobby Badger Games in West Sacramento. If you're ever in those areas, go ahead and check them out. They've got lots of cool stuff. They've got lots of board games, D&D, rule books, dice, the whole shebang. They've got everything from like Chessex to other brands that I just can't think of off the top of my head right now.
Pizza Dungeon.
They come with little minis and stuff. They've got like rule books. They've got Pathfinder stuff. They've got, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, they've got Magic. They've got Yu-Gi-Oh! I think. Got some of them. No promises on that. But, like, they've got all types of niche board games. Everything. They're all pretty neat.
Yeah.
Go check them out. Or, if you're not in that area, go ahead and search around for in your local area. There's probably a couple game stores out. You know, maybe not if your city, but the city over or the city over past that. It might not be too far of a drive. It might be a drive. I'm sorry if it is. But, you know, go check out your game stores. There are a lot of nice people there, and they're really cool to talk to, and they all have dynamic histories and whatnot, and maybe, you know, that'll give you character inspiration or something. I don't know. But
they're also a wealth of, like, knowledge, actually.
Yeah, they're just cool personalities.
Just the other day, I'm in a Warhammer group on Facebook, and I hit up the owner of Forgotten Paths, and I was like, hey man, this guy needs help identifying this stuff. I need to know what it is. And apparently it was second edition Warhammer stuff that is pretty similar to the stuff I have, and I had no idea. I would have never known that. But then been like, hey, I know this guy knows a lot of stuff. Let me ask.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally cool people, totally cool environments to meet new people, to branch out, you know, your world of D&D connections, or, you know, Magic the Gathering connections, or whatever the heck you do connections. They've got it all for the most part. They've got like minis and paints and whatnot. But yeah, also, go check them out.
If you are looking for a D&D stream, go to twitch.tv/travelerstipsandtales. Give us a follow, and you will see when we start our streams. It's usually going to be streams of our D&D game on Friday nights. However, there is occasionally, you know, some streams of Skyrim and other games.
Yes. So typically they're supposed to happen every Friday night at 7. we skip a couple of Fridays most of the time just because, you know, as accustomed to every other D&D group, scheduling is a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But yeah. Other than that, I think there's only one thing left to say here, boys.
Until next time.
Adventure away! We'll be right back.
And cut.